Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you all on this blessed Saturday. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Me broadcast. And once again, we're grateful to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who's given us opportunity to share the Word of God again with you. I want to shout out to those of you listening here in America. God bless you to this broadcast. Canada and Mexico, welcome. Welcome to those of you in Iraq and India. Algeria, welcome. And every country that I have not named that is listening to this broadcast, I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, contact us at the email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWRD, the number 2, MAN@gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're giving to you. Praise be to God. So as we await for my brother, come on, wherever you listen to me at, why don't you join in with me in prayer? Let's pray. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ for another blessed day that you have blessed us to see. And Father, how you have preserved and kept us with your mighty hand and power, that we would hear the word of God again one more time. Father, we pray for the speakers tonight that, Father, that their mouths will be worded to speak the words that will bring glory and honor to your name. We pray for the hearers that hear the word and that they will have a heart to take it to you and get a witness for themselves. We thank you, Lord, for being here, for you said in your word, where two or three are gathered together in your name, that you will be in the midst. So, Lord God, we are grateful for you making good at your word. And, Father, we'll give you glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Glory be to God. So we are once again this Saturday, for those of you that follow us on Blog Talk Radio, you know what that means, heart to heart, for Brother Lee and the Handmaidens, and we are waiting for my brother to join us. Glory be to God. And I just want to reiterate, I thank God for all you that have been praying for me and Brother Robert, special Brother Robert, and he has been blessed. Last report I got, he was recovering well. Thank God for that. And once again, I just want to stress to you guys that when we are coming on this broadcast, it's not a game. And the subjects that me and Brother Robert was diving into and giving you guys the word on, they were some very deep subjects. And they're subjects where Satan will retaliate. Okay? You got to understand that. That's why many times, as I said before, I was thanking those of you who have been praying for us. I have been thanking you for praying for us, because we knew that what we was going to go into, that it was going to draw heavy fire from Satan. And as I said before, some of us as Christians, some of you are standing back in the background and you like, oh, I don't want to get into that. I don't want no confrontation. I don't want no backfire. Well, the day going to come, you're going to have to make a decision anyhow. You know, just hiding and thinking that you are protected because you're hiding, Satan is deceiving you right there, okay? You're going to have to make a decision. And these subjects are things that had to be talked about, okay? Things we talked about, I just give you an example. The church I'm in, Church of Christ, the Lies and Message, we went years not saying. I mean, I got saved in 1990, and all the years, I really hadn't heard anybody just kind of go through this particular thing of the plan of God or the restitution, restoration completely. You know, too many of us in the church wouldn't even talk about it. We just throw little shades out there. That's not going to work, okay? And plus, you know, we having the word of God, we got to do what God said, cry loud and spare not. But what we've been doing is hiding in the closet, and then we'll get back in the closet and we'll talk to one another in the closet. But we won't come out and give the word of God And I want to say this to you again, as I said, if y'all heard me 30 minutes ago. Some of you are saying, oh, what you talking on, what you speaking on, and talking about these religions, that's not love, Brother Nate. Well, I'm going to tell you like this once again. It's not love if you don't want. That ain't love. You, like I said, you thinking that if you don't, because remember, the center core of this restitution, restoration, one part of it is what? Repentance. You, when you're going to see you, if you really study and study what they believe, you'll see why God is called for repentance. Because the road they're going will lead them to hell. God loves all men. He loves these people in these other religions. He don't want them to go there. So this is the reason why he had this message given of repentance. Because he don't want them to go there. That's love, okay? That's love. It ain't about you. You know, we got it, like I said, we got it mixed up. We think love means tolerate the sin, the abomination, iniquity, or don't say nothing. Lay down like a doormat and be walked over. That's what we think love is. That's not love, okay? Love does warn, okay? Love does stand for the truth. Once again, think about it. What if Jesus loved us the way we think this love is? What if he said, well, I'm not going to say nothing to them. I created them. I might offend them. Tell them that they in sin and abomination. And then let us go on to hell. Because that's exactly where man was going. If Christ wouldn't have did what he did, okay, we had no answer. There was no answer. There was no answer that man could give, could do. And so now he gave the way. So if he would have thought of love the same way we portraying love to be, we all would be lost, okay? And the Bible says, he said in Ezekiel, if you don't warn them, he said, the blood is on who? Your hands. That's what he said. That's what the Lord said. You know, I told y'all about 30 minutes ago, I did a 30-minute broadcast to let you know the new series I'm going to go in starting tomorrow and talk to you about why what they teach is not in line with what the Word says. And I'm going to be calling out different religions, okay, and letting you know what they think. And the first subject we're talking about, Lord say the same, starting tomorrow, is going to be God. What do these religions say about God? You know, like I said, I gave you the example that you find out with Mormons, you think because they say Jesus, you think they talking about, oh, they got to be Christians. They always talking about Jesus. Well, like I said, go back and look up the great-great-granddaughter of Brigham Young. She even said it. She said the Jesus that Mormons talk about is not the same Jesus of the Bible. We don't look that up. We think of somebody say Jesus, God. Oh, they say, that's my brother. You don't study nothing. You don't investigate. You're taking that face value. And so, therefore, these are the days of deception, okay? So you keep riding on the surface, and you'll see what's going to happen. Your mouth going to fly open on lies. Man, I really thought they believe in God. You find out that God is a goat, or you find out that God is a horse or something like that. But because they say God, you go, oh, they do believe in God until you find out what it is, okay? And then you say, well, I'm going to respect them. And they had you doing stuff, and you find out what you were doing was honoring other gods, okay? So I'm telling you like this, people. I'm seeing it in this day and time. It's going to get tighter and tighter. And you're going to have to make a decision because some of you that want to sit in the closet, like I said, you're criticizing the ones that coming out speaking, okay? While you sitting in the closet, they're talking about that's not love. We don't talk about other churches. That's not love. No, it's not about talking about other churches. It's about giving them the truth, showing them why they need to repent, okay? Because why? Because God loves them. He wants them warned. We're supposed to be warned in the world. We sitting back talking about I don't want to offend nobody. That's what we doing, okay? While the world heading on to hell. Okay, and so we think when we get up there, quote, to the pearly gates, that God is not going to say nothing to us. Okay, and like I said, on that last day when he actually said, hey, you had this opportunity to share my word with so-and-so, why didn't you do it? Well, God, I just feel like I'm going to offend them. And you know, God, that ain't the love that you talk about. Well, like I told you before, I can see God really had to constrain himself when you said that like that. So he might say, what? What are you talking about? Because if he'd have thought that way with us, okay, amen. Why you think God talked to you personally on about sin? If you doing something that sin the person, why you think God talk? You think God just gonna sit there and be quiet, just let you do it without warning you? No, he ain't gonna make you stop. You got to do that, but he'll warn you. If God sit up there and just let you go committing sin, iniquity, and wickedness, and that road takes you to hell, and then he just be quiet, don't say nothing, then he would be unjust. Yeah, he would be unjust. And then you would have the right to say, God, why you ain't warn me? Why you didn't say anything? Okay? But see, he ain't going to let you get that chance to say that to him, because why? He going to warn you. That's in the love package. Okay? It's in the love package. But see, we caught up in too much. I don't want to offend nobody. And I want them to keep being friends with me and keep coming over. Well, okay then, if that's more important to you than their soul, okay, then you keep on doing what you're doing. But I'm going to tell you like this, you're going to be held accountable. Watch, the blood is going to be on your hand, because that's not going to ride, okay? God said warn them. Give them the message. Let them know. Got to let them know, people. I mean, if you're a Christian, you're called with a mandate and a commission to what? To preach the gospel. In the gospel is repentance, and you got to let them know, okay? When they ask you these questions face to face and say, do you think, since I'm sitting up here and I'm fooling around with three women at the same time, not married, you think that's okay? What do you say? What are you going to do? Be quiet. So, well, I don't, you know, God loves you. And then you don't say nothing. Okay, so if they person through that end up catching a disease and die, okay, when you could have warned that person, okay, when you could have told them, so you're going to sit comfortable, right? Well, if you're a true child of God, you ain't. You'll be repenting. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry I didn't tell him. I'm so sorry, okay? We got a job to do, and I've been seeing this thing, and, you know, like I said, I've gotten comments from people, as I shared with y'all, like they told me, I'm misinformed. He said, you just misinformed. I've been studying it for years. I don't care how long you've been studying. Don't mean you don't miss it, okay? You got to study the Bible deeply to see that they are equal. I said, I don't care how deep you study the Bible. The Bible ain't going to justify ungodliness and antichrist. You can look the Bible inside out, up and down. You can turn it to the diagonal, to the parallel. You can do all that. You can take page one by one. It's not going to justify ungodliness. The Bible is not going to uplift man's doctrines. It's not going to uplift man's traditions. It ain't going to do that, okay? So when you have find on people talking about it go with the Bible. You got to study it deeply. When you are an antichrist, ungodly organization, like I said, you ain't going to find the Bible justifying your doctrines. You ain't going to, that's not going to happen. So we're on this thing right now. And like I said, me and my brother, we have been doing these past series and all that, trying to inform, trying to let you know. And like I said, we got on some very deep subjects that we knew was going to draw some kind of fire from the enemy. Okay. And God strengthened us in doing it. Okay. And we knew that, you know, it was going to be a challenge, because like I told y'all, it's just a challenge every day to come on this broadcast. Y'all, some of y'all might think we just filling our thumbs, sitting back in the recliner, calling each other, hey, let's come up with this. That ain't how it happened, okay? And I'm telling you, what we talked about, some of these deep subjects, Satan did not want it to be brought out, okay? Everybody ain't happy about what we had informed you of. Everybody ain't liking this, okay? And the word of God in Matthew, as I told you 30 minutes ago, when Jesus said they're gonna beat you in their synagogues and deliver you for kings and governors, he wasn't talking to the faint-hearted. This way ain't for the faint-hearted. If you faint-hearted and you want to remain faint-hearted, you're not going to make it in this way. They go for any of us. You ain't going to make it. It ain't for the faint-hearted, okay? And right now, unless you got your eyes closed, and many of us do, if you don't see what's happening now in this nation alone concerning Christianity, you are asleep, because it is coming more and more evident what the nation is gearing towards and against, okay? Oh, yeah, okay? Because as a Christian, anything that they're accepting that's abomination, they don't want you to say nothing. They don't want you. They want you just agree. See, when you got people that you're around that don't want you, and I'm talking about telling the love truth right, when they don't want you to tell them the truth, they just want you to agree with all the stuff they're doing, it's something wrong, okay? When you seeing them coming out from somebody's house at night with a 51-inch TV that don't belong to them and talking about, well, you knew I need a TV and want you to agree with them that it was all right to break in that house and get it, okay, it's something wrong. And some of us is accommodating them because why? We don't want to offend them. We want them to keep being our friends, giving us high fives in the morning, buying us coffee and stuff like that. We don't want to offend them, okay? We're missing the point. Sometimes in the physical, I say physical, because Jesus said in the word, he'll never leave nor forsake you. Sometimes in the physical, you're going to be alone, okay? You might be with a group of people, y'all smiling, giggling for a while, but then when the real truth surfaces, you begin to see who really loves truth. See, some people like a form of truth, per se, when it's on the surface, but when they're going deeper, oh, they fall off from, they just start falling like dominoes away from, they're gone. The next thing you know, you're looking up, you all looking around, you by yourself. And then they're acting all funny with you, they don't want to talk to you and stuff like that, because you're a party pooper. That's what that is. So, praise be to God. I'm going to pass my brother on here. God bless you, brother.
Shalom. Keep going there till I try to get this volume up a little bit.
Okay, no problem. Well, and like I said, this win is not for the faint-hearted. And, you know, like I said, you know, God is having us to, I said, me and Brother Robert, we've been going on some deep subjects. But it was things that had to be talked about. And like I said, we knew that it would draw fire. And that's why I thank God for all you that have been praying for us. Okay? I thank God for that. We knew it would draw, and that's what it do. And so we got to spread the word, the gospel. Okay? And we got to warn the people. So the new series I'm starting tomorrow, you know, and dealing with God, and we're going to see why that what they claim doesn't line up with Scripture. And I will be calling out different religions, okay, because the example I gave to you was that, once again, about the Mormons. And you'll find out that the Jesus that the Mormon talks about is not the same Jesus of the Bible. And some of us thinking, because they say Jesus, oh, my goodness, they are brothers. Yes, okay, because they said Jesus. Well, if you don't study deeply what they have to say about the Jesus that they're talking about, you're gonna miss it. Gonna miss it. Now, brother, look like I'm seeing you coming on here twice. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, because I see
you
two times. You know, I'm not into technology like I'm really not, but it's kind of funny to me. I see your number two times. But anyhow, yeah. So. That's what we at. That's what we're doing. And the first one we're going to deal with is what these religions say about God. Do they believe in the true and living God that the Bible talks about? Or, you know, when they say God, who are they talking about? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, brother.
Yeah. Oh, well. I'm sorry, having trouble with this. But anyway, an awesome day and a awesome day we've been given, and a great, great, great opportunity the Lord has given us. And I'm grateful to God to be alive and an opportunity to share the testimony of Judas, which is the spirit of prophecy, the spirit of revelation of truth. And so grateful. Thank God that we are here. And today is to celebrate Yom Kippur. And so, you know, the highest feast days that the Jews are still celebrating is one of the seven feast days from ancient times, which is called the Day of Atonement. And they often refer to it as the Passover of Yom Kippur. So we decided that, well, why don't we celebrate Yom Kippur every day? And why do we have to be, you know, like they did in the Old Testament, certain days they have feast days, but let's have feast days, the Lord Jesus, every day in our lives and in our doing. So Talk Broke Radio, we are here, Brother Lee from Chicago, Brother Nathaniel Hahn from Durant, Mississippi, USA. And we are talking about Jesus Christ and his plan of redemption, his plan of justification, recovery, and reconciliation. And finally, we are talking about the restitution and restoration of all things spoken by all the holy prophets since the world began. We're in that hour that we call the times of restitution, the times of restoration spoken in Acts 3:22 and Matthew chapter 17 and verse 9 to 13, when Jesus himself, the Holy One, says, before I come back to this earth the second time, Elijah will come and restore all things. Is that what he said, brother, or do I get a zero on that?
No, you correct, brother.
And it seemed like many people, many great ministers of God and many witnesses of this last day of the gospel, a lot of them have missed this about the times that Jesus spoke about, the times of restoration and restitution and the coming of Elijah, that prophet, before the great and notable day of the Lord. Seem like they have overlooked that. Think they kind of missed that, overlooked that a little bit?
Yeah, they have, especially as they say he already has come.
Yeah, he came, but he had a second mission. So they missed the part about the second coming of Elijah. Most people know about the second coming of Jesus, and that's highlight of all things. But before Christ says, there's a second coming of Elijah. So seem like they missed that. You know, just like the Jews, what we call the Israeli people or Israel, missed the first coming of Jesus. And they was, when Jesus came as the Lamb of God, they missed it. And now we're in the church age, and the last and the second coming of Christ, we have the church, or what we call the body of Christ, missing the second coming of Elijah. So it's paradoxical, very, very funny. The Jews missed the first coming of Jesus Christ as the Messiah. Now the church in the latter days is missing that the Lord said Elijah comes the second time to restore all things. So I guess it's one of those things.
Yeah, that's why we got to proclaim it, brother.
Absolutely. We have to proclaim that we're in the time of the third wave of the coming, the wave of the Holy Ghost, and the third wave of the harvest of souls, millions of souls in the earth. We're living in time of the harvest when Jesus says the laborers are few, but the harvest is white unto, you know, nigh unto gathering. And we're living in the times where he said the greatest outpouring of the Holy Spirit will be a breakthrough, and we're about to see the greatest breakthrough and victory that we call the Church of Jesus Christ. They're about to see the greatest breakthrough and victory in the history of their founding. And so we're looking for great and marvelous things. A breakthrough period is at hand where he says the former rain, the latter rain, the moderate rain. We're about to see the rain of heavens come and rain on the devil. and reign over those people who want to be reigned on.
Amen.
And so we about yesterday finished talking about the trial of fire, the test of fire. And so in before this great move of the Holy Spirit, you know, before I was thinking, looking at things that seem to relate to something that's happened just immediately before Christ come. You know, there was three great revivals in the last, what we call century and a half. The greatest move of the Holy Spirit of God moving in the earth happened actually three great waves. And the great move of the Holy Ghost was one of the great moves in the United States in particular, but one of them was 1857, Lampier, in Upper New York, a businessman in New York near Wall Street. There was a move of prayer. He started a prayer, I guess it was one or two or three people in the business section, and that in 1857 in Upper New York, and that broke into a mighty move of the Holy Spirit that went in many places. And then after that, something else happened in the United States in about 1879 or 80, something like that. Another great move of the Lord and the power of the Holy Spirit and his glory took place in a far place, a place called Cane Ridge, Kentucky. It is called the Cane Ridge Revival. It was so significant because it was a western town where there was killing and murdering and robbing. Everything was going on in Cane Ridge, Kentucky. It was a wild town. And these two people began to seek God. One of them was a man called Father Nash, and another man, the reason they know this revival is going to break through, this man would go out in the wood, and he would pray for hours. And he prayed so diligent that his voice would come out all the way up into the town. Can you imagine a man praying so diligent that the people could hear him all the way up in the town at night, crying like the voice of John the Baptist? And he would pray so fervently and diligent that they could hear him all the way in the town. And then came a move, a breakthrough move on Cane Ridge Revival. Then here's the topping of the cake. In 1906, in Los Angeles, California, a man, a preacher who was a holiness preacher, came to L.A. and was invited there, and his name was William Seymour, a black holiness preacher. And the way this breakthrough revival and awakening took place, when these five or six people started praying, fasting, and seeking the Lord on Bronnie Bray Street in L.A. And from that small beginning, the greatest move of the Holy Ghost in the United States had ever seen, it rained all the way around the world. And people came from every part of the world to this small place where they went and they built a little small, they didn't build one, but they rented a little place that was, that used to be a horse stable. It used to be a Methodist church and a horse stable, a little small place. We had no really floors, just sawdust. And they called 312 Azusa Street. So that took place, the greatest move of the Holy Ghost, started with this black man. Houston came with five people seeking the power of the Holy Ghost, as in the book of Acts. And that they say that people came from everywhere, Japanese, Chinese, Greek, everybody from around the world came to this small place in L.A. in 1906. And so the Lord is looking for people to seek him. Is that right? Till the breakthrough come.
Amen.
And now we're looking for the last great move of the Holy Ghost, like the greatest move of the glory of God to hit the earth. You know, during that Azusa Street revival, in a little small place, Hall Staple, that broke out in L.A. in 1906, called the Azusa Street Revival, they said that many people in that, around that area, they would call the fire department because they thought that the little small place where those people would meet, this revival lasted for 3 straight years, day and night. Can you imagine a revival going 24 day and night for 3 years?
Wow.
It went on for 24/7 for 3 whole years. And the people in the surrounding area would see smoke and fire and a cloud on this place, so they thought the place would be on fire because they saw fire coming from it. They saw the glory of God on top of it. They saw smoke and everything. So they would call the fire department, and the fire department they keep calling the fire department. The fire department said, "We're tired of y'all calling us. The place is not on fire." "Yeah, but we see fire coming from it. We see a cloud. We see smoke coming out of the top of that small building place." So the glory of God was really visible. We need some of that happening there. Correct.
That's right.
We definitely do. And so we have to pray for that breakthrough. Like Jacob, what did Jacob say to the angel? Remember what Jacob said to the angel when he wrestled with the angel of the Lord?
Yep. He said, "I ain't going to let you go until you bless my soul."
I ain't going to let you go. I'm not going to turn loose, and you can't make me until I get an answer, till I get what I want, till I get this breakthrough. And the angel touched him on his hip, and his hip was out of socket. Yes, it's going to take what I call an out-of-socket move of God to change America and the world. Out of socket. It ain't going to be no nice little quiet, be quiet stuff, right? It's going to be like the Cane Ridge Revival when this man would go in the woods and pray so fervently and so diligent, even so loud that his voice could be heard all the way up in the town. Hallelujah to Jesus. It's going to be some fervent, some crying out. You know, the angel is the angel of the Lord that comes today, has brought a word, and over 5 times he have encouraged the people of the Lord. Call for a solemn assembly, something like that, and cry mighty unto the Lord. Mighty. Let this man, if Father Nash came real mighty, like William Seymour, that breakthrough revival, like Cane Ridge Revival, like Wales Revival. Listen. That's what it's going to take. Do you think so?
Yeah, I know so, brother. I know so.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. One of the first times Brother Moore, myself, and Brother Jones, and Sister Jeanette Simmons had an all-night prayer in her house. Hallelujah. And we came together, let me see, one Friday night, four of us, Elder Alfred Moore and Brother Jones, Dennis Jones. Did you ever meet Brother Jones? No, you never met, did you?
No, I didn't meet them.
And then Sister Jeanette, who now is in, she lives in Georgia too. You never met Sister? No, I don't think you did. No, it was just four of us. No, it was five of us. It was
Sister Jeanette.
Actually, Alfred Moore, Brother Jones.
Was she Sister Jeanette? Was she ever in Alabama?
Yeah, she's still there.
Okay, I think I met her at an assembly one time.
Yeah, I think you were there at one time they came. The one time they came in a Greyhound bus. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, I think I met her, it was like 1990 or 91 or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, yeah. They came to the General Assembly in Missouri. Sister Jeanette, she's a singer, and she sings, a lovely voice. Yeah, she's still in Alabama. She's still alive. And Sister Gladys Castor Moore, that was Brother Moore's wife. She's still there. And yeah, they're still there. And they're in Alabama. Yeah, yeah. Well, like I said, I get them fixed to Alabama, Georgia. You know, the funny thing about how God calls people out. Now, Brother Moore, he came out of the apostolic faith. Sister Jeanette was in the Church of God in Christ. Sister Juanita, the tall sister, about 6'3", 6'4". She came out of the apostolic faith church, and Brother Jones, he was not going to anyone at the time, and I had not come out of any church, even though I was raised in the Baptist. And so the Lord called us together, apostolic, two apostolic, Sister Jeanette, former out of the Church of God in Christ, Brother Jones, who had never been part of a church organization, unto Christ, hallelujah, and myself, and a young man, and later on, he was 18, 17, named Admiral Smith. He came out of his parents was with a Holiness Pentecostal church, and then Brother Clark, who was associated with the Church of God in Christ, came out and the faith movement. And so the Lord calls strange bedfellows to make up the body of Christ, right? And you were not a part of any church group or Christian group until you came to Church of Christ of Elijah Mass. I wasn't either. Hallelujah. Now, my mentor, when I'm in Chicago, Elder Treadwell, he was a minister in the Church of God in Christ. And hallelujah. So the Lord just does great and marvelous things. And wonderful things. So, just recounting the past and legacy. And so, but the Lord is about to do the greatest healing that you ever seen since that world began. He's about to do the greatest miracles, supernatural miracles and signs and wonders that's beginning to break through around the world. You do know that many Muslims are being visited by Jesus himself.
Yeah, I believe that, brother. I definitely believe that.
And do you know that in the underground church in China, hundreds of people are being born again and converted every month? Now I want you to get this, because the report is that it is the fastest growing believers in the world, in China. Now, can you imagine that? Of all the places in an ancient Asian world, the Holy Spirit, the great harvest in the underground persecuted communist state, the Lord is moving mightily among the Chinese people in underground church who are being persecuted and, you know, going to jail, and they had to meet secretly all over China, and that hundreds of them are being converted every month. Actually, more than that. They say it's actually more weekly. Hundreds are being converted weekly. I mean, weekly, every week. So it amounts to about 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000 or 6,000 people being converted every month. So the Lord is doing great and marvelous things, wondrous things. And they are being persecuted and killed and going to prison. And the more they persecute those Chinese people, the more fervent and the more calm. It's just like the early church in the Book of Acts. The more they try to kill them, the more they grew, the more they got on fire. So thank God for their faith. And we want to pray for our brothers in the underground church especially in China, North Korea, Afghanistan, and Iraq, Ethiopia, Sudan, and Egypt. And we want to pray for them in the hour of their testing of their faith by fire. Lord Jesus, we thank you for their dedication and faith to willing to die and lay down their life for your gospel. And we remember today the martyrs that are dying in the Middle East and Far East for your gospel and for your name. Lord, those that are in prison and being beaten and tortured, remember them. Remember them. Comfort them, console them, show yourself, and do signs and wonders and miracles and mighty deliverance that the heathens would see that you are the living God and that your name, Jesus, is above every name and your power is above every power, that you're the only eternal one God and you're the only one that has power over all things. Convince them. Convict them. Do great and marvelous things. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. The fire by test. The test by fire that's about to happen. You know, before the glory of God can be revealed, the test and the trial has to come, you know. So God can, amen. You can see, before the testing and God revealed himself mighty, the test is coming. The tribulation, the test of fire must come to the people who call themselves the Church of the Living God. And so now, the testing of fire. The Bible talks about the test of fire. Now, we talked about yesterday the trying of our faith and being tested to the uttermost is about to happen in America. Now, the angel messenger has said that we're living in the hour of God's judgment, and we see what's happening in all the earth. And now the saints of God in Christ are going and in the process of being tested about their faith. You know, if you everything has to be tested to see where it stands, where it finds them. So the strategy, God has a strategy, and that is to cause you to stand through fire. Standing through fire. Standing. And this is where people have missed it because they have taught this rapture doctrine and they're not preparing to stand through the fire. What do you think?
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory. Well, Lord, help me, place me to stand through the fire. The fire of the testing, the refining fire to test everyone who say they believe that Christ is Lord and the risen Savior. Now, the testing has always been through the ages for Christians, and from the book of Acts, we see they had the great test in the first century. So why do you think the beginning of the church age, where the apostles in the first 100 years, they were tested, really tested, right, by fire, right?
Amen. They really were.
Can you name a few things in Peter and Paul and the early 12 and disciples that they went through a testing immediately, a real testing of fire?
You know, when they encounter people rose up against them that want to, for example, Paul was beaten at one point and left for dead, and God raised him up, you know. And the uprisals that they were facing where the people weren't just against them, the people actually wanted to kill them.
So the book of Acts, church, immediately after Jesus left the earth and the Holy Ghost was poured out, they suffered intense persecution of fire, right?
Amen.
And as one of the recordings of the Bible says, one of the first of the ministries in the kingdom of God was Stephen, and Stephen was killed, and then James, one of the apostles, was killed by Herod, had his head cut off. Then the devil got on Peter, and they were going to kill him and put him in prison, and they was going to execute Peter, but the saints began to pray, And then the Lord sent an angel and let Peter out of jail. Then the whole church had to be scattered because they was under persecution, hiding by day. And we see finally, after they continue, and the apostles and disciples in the first 100 years, they began to finish their ministry. They were all killed. All the original apostles except one was killed. You know, the original 12 and most of the 70, all of them was martyred. But one apostle was not martyred out of the original 12. Who was that?
John the Revelator.
So he was the only one that didn't die and wasn't killed. And he's still alive today. Uh-oh. Shouldn't have said that, brother. 2,000 years, he's still alive? Oh, well, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I wonder what kind of wonder bread he was eating. My God, he's still alive.
Amen.
I mean, he may be drinking some water that keep you alive, the everlasting water. Yeah, he was drinking the everlasting water because he was given a promise by the Lord Jesus that he would not die. He would remain on the earth till Jesus comes the second time. I know people don't believe it, but the Bible indicates it. But all right, let's move on here. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Now, the testing of fire. We see at the stages of the 2,000 history of the Church of Jesus Christ, it was tested, and it went through a great change called the time of the Dark Ages, which you call the apostasy of the church. And the Bible said that this particular testing and overthrow, temporary overthrow of the body of Christ, would happen, would last for 1,260 years. 1,260 years called the Dark Ages. Hallelujah. So in 1930, the 1,260 years of Daniel and prophecy about the testing of the church and the overthrow of Jesus Christ would last for 1,260 days, which is prophetic time of 1,260 years. So now, here we see the end time, the Lord reestablishing the church anew, bringing it forth, beginning in Martin Luther and going to the Wesley, Jonathan Edward, and just going through the different ones. He bringing the church age back. He bringing all the way down to, like I said, the Wesley's. Then he comes down to the early 19 of Hudson and Moody, Billy Sunday, just Spurgeon, Finney, John Lake, and just doing tremendous weight. He brought in the Luther Street Revival. Hallelujah. He began to bring in the Healing Revival, or Robert William Branham, Jack Cole, A. Allen, all of these. And so the Lord, in 1929, sent an angel from heaven in Revelation 14:6, and bring restoring the everlasting gospel. Now we're under a test because in message 88, the Lord gives the Church of Christ a particular warning for themselves and for others. Let me see, what did it say in 88:35 to 39.
Okay. 88:35-39. Okay. It says, Satan's powers shall be bound, and he shall have no more temptation on mankind until the reign of peace, the millennium, shall be over. Satan knows his time is short. He will work to destroy all that he can. He will work to hinder and deceive and lay stumbling blocks for mankind to fall over. He will puff up in pride, and he will discourage in hope, and hinder the faith of many if you do not watch and pray. Have faith in the words of the prophets and the Lord and what I bring, and he will not have power over you. Therefore, come against him, break his yoke by true belief, and study the word, obey the Lord's spirit, and make ready. There will come trials, but they cannot destroy. Yea, read these words and follow through. Find worship and deliverance.
Find worship and deliverance. Those are key words. about the testing of our faith under fire. And you know when you find out about anything, when you put it under fire, is that right? The testing of fire.
That's right.
You know, gold has to go through a process of fire, right, to be refined, right? And a diamond and jewel has to go through pressure points to see the core of reality of it. So mankind, especially the Church of the Living God, the Living Christ, must be put to test to see what foundation, where it stands, is it established. So the testing by fire and the testing of the great tribulation is about to come upon us, because there will be no escape through the rapture, as they have often told us for years. There will be no escape that way. There will be a victory and a triumph. We will overcome and we will be a conqueror. We will be going through the fires of the trials of our testing of our faith, and we'll be refined, and we will have the victory like the three Hebrew boys who were thrown in the fire. That's a paradoxical symbol of the church. The church will go through the fires just like the three Hebrew boys who endured and found the victory. That's how the Church of Jesus Christ is going to come out of the fire, just like the three Hebrew boys were heated up seven times. That means, you notice we heated the number seven, and that means a spiritual meaning when the Hebrew boys, the heat was heated up seven times. And that means the highest test is about to hit us, and not only is the Antichrist and the false Christ and the false government, but the persecution is going to be great. Say amen, right? If you can't run with the footmen, how are you going to run with the horse? You hear that? If you can't run with the footmen, the foot race, how can you run with the horsemen? Now, right now in the Western world, we have what we call a small scale of testing, and a lot of people are not standing. You know what God told Moses on the first thing, in order to stand, pull off your shoes, for the place that you stand is what? Holy what?
Holy ground.
So in order to stand the test, the real test, you're going to have to strip yourself, pull off everything, and Christ's going to have to be everything, and stand on what? Holy ground. Is that right? Holy ground.
Yeah. Amen.
Going to have to stand on holy ground. And notice that Moses said, pull off your shoes, mean pull off your old life, pull off your old nature, pull off your old ways, and get the new nature and the newness of Christ in you. And let holiness be your focus. Holiness unto the Lord. Follow peace and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now, holiness. Now, the testing of fire is going to bring glory, because God's going to show his glory. And this is where we're going to see the mighty glory of the Lord in the earth when we put to the test and the challenge. Who will stand? Now, let's see. In the angels, let's go to message 90 and verse 1 to 5. He warned us and told us about how the testing was going to increase. So let's see in message 90 how as we go along, the testing will be increased so that the glory of God will be greater. Message 90, the angels brings a message. In message 90, he warns again. In message 1, but he also gives some good news, a blessed news. Verse 1 to 5.
So arise and write the words I will give you. Do with these as you have done with the others, publish them in the book, the word of the Lord, and send to the ends of the earth. Arrange so you may do more in this work as the way opens. The Lord will direct, and it will be well with you and others that hasten to follow. I come to you with a message from the presence of the Lord to the believing and faithful, peace and joy. They delight in my coming. Press on. Greater trials await the nation, the people, and the church. Let nothing destroy your faith in good works. Deliverance has come. Reach out. The way is prepared for greater outpouring of the Spirit, and mighty things will be revealed, but only to the humble. The Lord will water the seed you have sown. Many more shall yet come. Much more shall yet come to pass of miracles and healings and a better way in the lives of many.
Wow. Now that is both news, good and great and wonderful. What do you find about that message and that warning that's been given to the Church of Christ and it also be to be shared with all of the believers and the whole, because that test is going to increase too. What do you think about that? What the angel says?
Well, one of the things I see that he showed that these three places he named, neither one of them is exempt from being tested.
What are the three places?
He said the greater trials await the nations, the people, and the church.
Oh. So the trials, the testing is going to increase, and many people may not be able to stand. Why do you think they won't be able to stand?
Because one thing is the lack of being rooted.
Rooted. Okay. He said greater, he wants us way back there. And when the wind blowed on the Church of Christ and blowed on it, you see that many people did not stand, did it?
Amen. Yes.
They were swept away.
Right.
They were swept away. They gave up their testimony. The testimony Amen. Didn't stand the test. You listen. You know what happened? Jesus told the disciples that the Son of Man is going to be tried, tested, and killed, and that he was going to rise on the third day. He said, you are going to be hated. And he told his early disciples, they were going to be persecuted. He told them the test that was soon coming after not only before he died, but before he died. And soon as they put him in jail, tortured him, accused him, and took him on trial and put him and killed him, and they ran. They ran and hit and run for their lives, didn't they? All of the
Amen.
Apostles, they ran for their life. Hallelujah. I said they ran and hid. Now, but after the power of the Holy Ghost came, I mean the supernatural power of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, that was a different story. So that telling us in order to survive, we're going to have what we're going to have, the same thing that happened on the book of Acts. If we don't get the book of Acts experience, brother, we will not be able to stand. I don't know what people agree. They don't have to necessarily agree with it, but we have the evidence and the pattern in the scripture. Without the baptism of fire, you won't be able to stand the fires of trials. Go over there, 3. John the Baptist says in chapter of Matthew 3:11 that Jesus, he that cometh after you, after you baptized with water, because baptism of water won't take you through the fire, bro. You got to have more than that, right? Or do you just only to be baptized with water? You can make it. Just being baptized with water, you can just make it, right? Or can you?
No, that's a negative.
No?
Gotta have more than that. Gotta have more than that.
So John the Baptist said in 3:11 that Jesus was baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. Do you know that message, the angel message says, now this didn't happen, this haven't been fulfilled. Message 37, I think it's 37:7. Jesus said, he didn't come to me by the door without baptized with the fire and the Holy Ghost. Now most people think that they don't need the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. All they need is a little touch. I don't think the little touch is not going to be enough, is it, brother?
No, it ain't. Not where we living at in this time.
So you're going to need more than a touch, huh?
You're going to need more than a touch.
Oh, my goodness. John the Baptist told us, and he's saying the same thing, if we don't get the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire, you can just, you know. But anyway, because the fires of trials, you're going to need the fires of the Holy Ghost. Wow. I said for the fires of trials, you're going to need the intense fire of the Holy Ghost, likened unto Elijah. Okay. All right, sisters, where are they at?
I'll give them a minute. You done made the call out now. I'll give them a minute to be on.
Okay. Now, as they're coming on, the word of the Lord, the angel has come from, and he spoke these words, this warning, this awakening, for over five times. Remember Job. Remember Job. Now, when somebody tell you, mention something to you five separate times, what do you think they repeated it five separate times for?
Well, one thing to be established, and another thing is to get this point over to you how important it is.
So apparently, he had been speaking to message 29 to the Church of Christ Alive message all the way to one of the last messages, 6. Remember Job. You'll be tested like Job. Now, he said that we, in particular, the restoration and the Church of Christ, were going to be tested in like Job was. He made a promise, brother. He didn't just say, well, maybe. Did he say maybe?
No, he didn't say maybe.
Are you sure he didn't say maybe, if, but, or what, or none of that?
Yeah, I'm positive. A few times I looked it over, I didn't see that in there.
He said, we are going, the church was going to be tested in the like manner that Job was tested. Job tested. That's the ultimate test. And you see, when the Job tests started coming upon the Church of Christ, Elijah Smith, and the restoration movement, did you see what happened? And it's not through yet.
Yeah. Right.
Many people could not withstand the testing of Job. They were swept away. They were, and it tried to sweep everyone away. It tried to crush everyone. It made a lot of people backslide, leave, turn away, crush, discouraged. Satan will do all he can to discourage. You know, he said 88, he's going to do all he can to discourage, to puff up in pride. And he did all of that. Didn't he do all that?
Yeah, he did. You're definitely right. He did.
And many could not withstand it, could it? And I'm not saying they were bad people. I'm not saying they were terrible. They just was not ready to withstand the testing. They were not prepared to stand the testing. See, the Hebrew boys, when they faced this ultimate test, and they looked at the fiery furnace with the 7 times hotter, and they said, throw us in there. We ain't taking it back. We're going to serve the one true God, Jehovah. We're not bowing to no other God. And we ain't going no other way but the God of Abraham, Isaac, the God of Daniel. And they throw us in the fire. And when they were thrown in the fire, did they come out of the fire victorious?
Yeah, they did.
Well, we're going to have to come through the fire, and God's going to show his glory and bring great victory, because we're going to have to go through the testing of Job. And there's no other way you're going to come on the other side to getting the glory of God upon your life until he first try you and test everything in you. Hallelujah. And no way to escape it. If you got a pride in you, got selfishness, you got rebellion in you, you got fear in your word, you're not completely, you're wavering mind, you're double-minded, you're standing on somebody else's testimony, don't have your own testimony, you're standing on somebody else's faith, you don't have your own faith, if you don't have your own relationship, your own prayer life, your commitment life, your consecrated life, your obedience life, your witness life, and you're depending on somebody else, are you standing on your own flesh, your own ability? Are you standing on your ability? If you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in fire, like John the Baptist says, you may not be able to stand. You got to cover with the blood of Jesus. Now, let's go. The sister's online. I know Sister Anderson, she's already ready.
We'll welcome Man. Sister Helen. God bless Sister Helen.
God bless.
Wow.
Man.
Hallelujah. Well, glory.
Amen.
Well, glory to hallelujah to Jesus. Can you
Amen.
Say glory?
Glory.
Glory.
Glory. Thank you, Jesus.
I think it's an opportunity to let heaven and earth know where your heart is at. Glory, glory to the glory to Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. If you're ashamed of the Lord Jesus, he'll be ashamed of you in the day of his fall. So I'm not ashamed to say, I am not ashamed. I said I'm not ashamed. I'll say glory in the White House, the Red House, the Blue House, the every house. Glory. Because.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
God bless you, Sister Anderson. How you doing?
Bless. Now, God bless. Amen.
The testing of fire, where the glory of God is going to be revealed. You notice, and we have an example that what's going to happen, that Moses, the prophet of Israel, and Elijah stands on the same level, and the Lord says that the man that's coming to bring the message in the latter day, the angel, is going to have a ministry like Moses and Elijah. And this angel is called that prophet like unto Moses, Deuteronomy 18. And he's also, this angel messenger has the ministry and work of like Elijah, Malachi 4. So both of these ministry are in tune. Now, here's the thing. Moses had the greatest power manifestation of any prophet in the Bible. In fact, Moses of Israel, the prophet, he was consumed. And there is no other prophet that received such glory and profit. And only three prophets came close, Enoch and Elijah and Elisha. Now, if it took that for them, what do you think it's going to take for us?
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And if the fire get heat up seven times hotter, then mm-hmm. The fire of the Holy Ghost got to be the seven times hotter in our lives, right?
Amen.
If we don't think it's real, go back and ask the early church, Peter, James, and John, and Paul, and Nathaniel, ask them.
Amen.
If you don't want to believe. Now, since this angel has been coming, Revelation 14, 6, 18, and 1, and bringing the word of the Lord, the Elias, he said five times, remember Job.
Yeah.
Have y'all read that in the word of the Lord? Have y'all read anything about he said we're going to be tested like Job?
Yes. Amen.
What do you think why would he say something? He just passed the time of day. They had nothing better to say. I'll just pass this along to the church. I ain't got nothing else to say. I'm cooling out. Y'all, by the way, y'all going to be tested by Job, but you ain't got to pay no attention to it. You know, don't worry about it.
Yep, something to open your eyes and warn you.
Now, have you seen, since you've been in the work, the stepping up Job's test has come since the time you've been in the work?
Amen.
Amen, yeah.
Amen.
But it haven't reached its complete finish yet seven times. It's almost there.
No.
That's why as you see from 1929 to this day, it's been going through the sifting. I mean, the church been going through a sifting thing, right, Heaven?
Amen.
Right. Yep,
it is.
I mean, it's been going through all kind of sifting. The people who you thought would stand didn't quite stand, did they?
That's right. That's true. Amen.
Amen.
So that means you can't put your trust in nobody's flesh, nobody's arm, nobody.
Amen.
Totally
Amen.
Nobody.
Nobody.
Huh?
Nobody.
Huh?
Amen. Nobody. Amen. Nobody.
You cannot put your trust in the arm of flesh, because flesh can fail you. And in fact, it will fail you.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
When Jesus looked around, where were all those disciples and all those apostles? Mm-hmm. Was?
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
Where were they at when he went to the cross of Calvary by himself?
Yeah, they were gone. Amen.
Not Peter. Not Peter now. Not Peter. I know my main like Peter. No way.
Amen. Amen. Thank God for you.
He said in the message book to Brother Dre, he said, those you think will stand and go all the way with you, you're going to be disappointed.
Yeah. Amen.
We all going to suffer disappointment. Now, if you can't stand to suffer, go through disappointment, you better go. Because one of the great things that the enemy is going to try you on is your betrayal and disappointment.
Yeah.
Because people who think and friends or beloved can betray you, just like Jesus was betrayed. His closest, he was an apostle. So that means a lot of days you're going to have people who will be your apostles and everything else going to faint and fall.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody out there talking to me?
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So just because you're an apostle with a calling or a bishop or elder, don't mean. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Well, listen here. The five times that he said, I want you to turn to the word of the Lord, and I want you to read, it's spoken in the word of the Lord five times. The first one in the 29th message. The next one is in the, let me see, the 50th message. The third one's in the 51st message. Then I think another one in the 56th message. Then the next one is the 62nd message. Then the last one is, Ed, one guy, anyone have anyone? I want you to get one of these. Wait, he warns us about Job's test is coming to the Church of Christ Alive at the Restoration Movement. Anyone got one? Read it right when you get it. You may want to read it. The testing of Job is coming to the Christian faith. Whether you're in Elijah mess or not, it's coming to the Christian faith. Okay, read.
Okay, 29 and 9. This is in the Angel's Message of the Lord, 29 and 9. The contentions of the world will grow worse and worse, and your faith will be tried as that of Job. But be ye children of peace.
Faith tried like Job. Okay, the next one. Faith tried like Job. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Anyone else?
Okay.
50 and 6 says, remember Job. His trials did not destroy his faith. Yet, like he anything, he endured and found peace with God.
Mm-hmm. Wow. What did he say about your faith again? What did he say?
He did not.
Somebody read
that. Destroy his faith.
Say what?
Nothing destroyed his faith. He endured and found peace with God.
He endured.
Yes,
endured.
Sir.
What do you have to endure?
Yes.
What do you have to endure? People that you think love you, standing with you, you trust it, believe, can turn around and spit in your face.
Yes.
And can you take that? Can you take being betrayed, lied on, mistreated, cast down, cast out? Can you take that? Well, Jesus said, if you want to be like me, you got to go through some of the things I went through. You want to be like me? If you want to be like Jesus, do you want to be like Joe? See, a lot of people claim they want to be like this one, Brother Dave. They want to be like that. I don't think they know what they're saying.
No. Uh-uh.
But, you know, because they don't know what the test, the making.
That's it.
They don't know what the test and the making is.
Don't know.
Yes, I know, the price that you had to pay. Okay, who has another message about the the testing of Job is in what, 62 or message 56 or what is it?
51 and 17. Okay. Let your faith be firm as Job, who humbled himself before God.
Okay, what's the last one in message 62, I think?
Okay, 62. Okay, and it said, remember Job in his trials. The Lord set his anger to deliver, so it shall be to the church for the faithful. Some love this work and know it is true, but their pride has kept them away and from coming close to it. Some are true and will yet be true, and will all of their might proclaim the truth. Even the message I bring, let them continue on. Peace shall be with them.
Wow. What do you get from that, beloved? What do you get from that?
He was telling us to remember, you know, Job in his trials, the things that he went through. But, you know, but through it all, he said the Lord sent his angel to deliver him. And he said, and so it shall be with the church of Christ, the ones that are faithful, you know, in this work. And, you know, and he was saying that some are true and will yet be true. And he said, and they proclaim the truth. He said, even the message that he would bring it. And then he was also talking about the pride, you know, that was in the heart of man, you know, that have kept them, you know, away from coming into this work and even coming close to the Lord.
Yeah, brother pride. Brother pride.
Pride. Uh-huh, pride.
Wow. Pride. And because of their pride, they can't come to this work because their pride is hindering them. They can't come back to this work because the devil is using pride. Some have not let anger and bitterness go. They can't overcome that they may have been mistreated or hurt or wounded. But didn't Jesus say that you're going to be wounded in your own house, your own brother? So you got wounded. Jesus was wounded in his own house among his own. He promised you that you're going to get wounded. Can you stand that? See, we want to be like Jesus, but a lot of people don't know what it means. Jesus was wounded, and he says his people in his own house wounded, his own Jewish people, his own family wounded him, his own town wounded, rejected him. And he said, even though you're in the Lord's church, you're going to get wounded. You're going to get hurt. Can you stand that? Can you endure? Will you endure? Will you overcome, or will it overcome you? Then there are those who have this bitter and anger because they've been wounded. Well, Jesus said you're going to get hurt and wounded. I mean, you can't get away from that. You said you're going to be tested to the uttermost. Okay, right?
Amen.
Huh? Amen. Well, I've been hurt. Well, Jesus said you would be hurt and wounded. He said you'd be wounded in your own house, among your own brethren.
Amen.
Can you overcome that? Can you overcome? Paul was, Peter was, they were betrayed. They were wounded by their own people. Can you overcome that? He said, get ready, because that's going to happen. Well, I just can't take it. That means you got to be crucified to yourself and your pride. And you got to be crucified totally, because you have to overcome. Well, that's just the way it is.
Amen.
Anybody been through this testing? Well, he promised that it was going to happen. Now, he said he's going to send his angel. Do you know that God, that's an angel that God has preserved to bring us deliverance? And not only John the Baptist, I'm not talking just about John the Baptist, who come in the word, his words bring deliverance, but I'm talking about an angel assigned to you to help you have a breakthrough deliverance. There is an angel of God assigned to you on your mission and your purpose to help you and minister you to a breakthrough deliverance.
Yes, Lord.
You didn't know that. Amen. All right. Now,
I want us to
go to the first part. Why was Satan so intense against Job, Brother Nate? Why in Job he says, when the word says, have you considered my servant Job? What do you think that was all about?
Mm-hmm. When he said, have you considered my servant Job?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, how God had really, because God said that Job was, you know, a righteous man.
Uh-huh.
And God was knew that Satan would have opposition to that. God permitted him to be tested, just like he would us, to see what we're made of in our stance with him.
Okay. Sister Anderson?
Well, the devil came so against Job because Job was upright in us. Had an upright mm-hmm. standard before God that he honored, he worshiped the Lord, and man is the closest thing to God's heart, and the devil hates them the most because of that. And because Job worshiped the Lord, that's why, and even the devil tried to say that Job was only lifting up the name of the Lord Jesus because he had all of those things. Take those things away from him and he will curse you. And the Lord already knew Job's heart. He knew Job's heart. So that's when he told the devil that he could try him. He could try him but not take his life, because the Lord already knew what was going to happen because he already knew Job's heart. And that's what
okay.
that was all about, trying to make Job turn
okay.
against God.
Now the devil is joining the enclave when he's coming before the Lord, and he's asked a question by the Most High God. Whence comest thou, Satan? Well, I've been walking up and down in the earth, and seeing whom I can destroy.
Mm-hmm.
And the question comes from the Most High God. Have you considered my servant Job?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what is the reply of Job, I mean of the devil?
Mm-hmm.
See, you got to know, understand this story very quick, because most people don't understand a lot of things about this Job test. They haven't looked at it very closely. They think mm-hmm. they have looked at all of it, but they haven't looked at all of it. And mm-hmm. if we're going to get through the Job test, we better know very clearly and distinctly reveal what was Job tested in. Now, the question comes mm-hmm. when the Most High God says to Satan, I know you have been considering Job, and I know what you're thinking, devil. I know you don't try Job, and but are you still considering my servant Job? And the devil replied to the Most High God, what did he say?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he have
well, you see, this is very important.
Uh-huh.
When we say we're going to be tested like Job, and the Lord said this for five times, we need to mm-hmm. understand what it is that we're going to be tested on.
Mm-hmm.
What area that you're going to be tested on. Now, mm-hmm. when the Most High got to the devil, he said, well, have you considered myself Job? There's nobody like him in all the earth. That's quite a statement, isn't it? The Lord testified of Job that there ain't nobody like him. He's perfect, upright, a just
mm-hmm.
man that fears God
mm-hmm.
and hated evil.
Got about 4.5 minutes.
This is the testimony that the Most High God says about this one man in the midst of the Bible. There is none like him in all the earth.
Right.
He's perfect, upright, just, and hateth evil. And there's nobody
mm-hmm.
like him. What was the devil's reply? Well, that's because you got this hedge around him. I can't get to him. Now, you need to ask yourself, why is it that the devil tried everything he could not get through? Now, that's quite a testimony. The devil tried everything that he could, but he could not get through with any way in any wall to Job. And you got to ask yourself, what kept him from not getting through to Job? That he had to come to God and get special permission, special permission to put him to the test because he could not get through to him because there was a wall around him. And you need to know, what was this wall, this hedge around Job? How did it get there? That even the devil, the best devil, the best demon could not get through.
Yeah.
Well, we better get that wall around us, don't you think?
Amen.
That hedge.
Amen.
But you got to find out, how do you build this hedge that Satan was not able to get to any way of Job? What was Job doing? What was Job's life? What was Job's commitment? What was he doing daily? What was he doing daily? What was he doing daily that God said there's nobody, no one like him in all the earth? We're going to have to get to Job's. We're going to have to give to Job's cloak, and we're going to have to get it. We better work on it now because he said the testing of Job is going to try all. Well, we come to the end of the testing, but the Lord will never forsake you. He said, I'll never leave you. And we need to study that what area that Job was tested in and what area that we are not built enough, strong enough yet. And what area, what particular area? Remember this as we close. The Bible says, all that's in the world, lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Those are the three areas that all people are that going to be tested by the devil in those areas. Hallelujah. So how do we overcome? How we lift a banner of victory? Are we ready for the testing and yet stand? Do you have a strategy? Oh, Lord, as we come to an end of this broadcast, to everyone that's listening, our God, his name is Jesus, the living Christ, the risen Christ, said that no matter what your testing is that you're allowed to go through, I will be with you, I will lift you, I will give you the victory, I will be with you and cover you and deliver you, and I'll bring you through with the victory. You can trust, him explicitly. So now, Lord, everyone out there who wants to make a decision to get on board with him that you can trust, Jesus Christ, wherever you are, you can become a part of the team. You become a part of the kingdom of God. Say, Lord Jesus, I recognize I want to become a teammate. I want to become a part of your body. I want to be part of your kingdom. I come to you in faith. I trust that you died for me and rose again. You bear my sins on Calvary. Take away my sins, my iniquity. Give me a new heart. Give me a new spirit. Give me a new life. I trust you. Transform my life and deliver me. I put all my trust in you. And now, Lord, help me to hold fast your faith. Let me to go be baptized in Jesus' name, be baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. Now we love you.
Yeah.
And we say you can win like Job won. And amen.
Yes, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank God for all you've been listening. And as for Brother Lee, this is Brother Nate, with Sister T and Sister Anderson. We love you. God bless you and God keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.
Amen. God bless.